Hello, my name is Jerry, and I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you for allowing me to do this. Do I? Well, I don't know. I just press the button. As far as the big book goes, I've been yesterday. I got my token for 48 years of abstinence, and in those days, all we had was the big book. So that's my foundation, the big book and the AA 12 and 12 too. So I read on in your website that we read something from the big book. So I'm going to read page two, a paragraph from page 25. Where is it? It's my, well, I love the whole big book, but this one paragraph just really touches my heart, and that is the great fact. The great fact is just this, and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. And revolution means totally changed. And that's exactly what happened when I came into these rooms in 1975. But I didn't know it. I was still living the life of a compulsive overeater, not in recovery, and I didn't even know it. When I think of newcomers, I like to think of there's this movie and this book I used to teach, and there's this book, and it's about a big train that comes, and this little boy gets on this train, and he's not sure whether he can get on this train or not. And it goes to the North Pole. I'm not supposed to mention names, so I'm not going to mention the name of the movie or the book, but anyway, it's a great big locomotion that comes at, when he's asleep, and he looks out his window and he sees this big train, and so he looks, and then he goes near the conductor, and the conductor looks down at him and he says, "Well, are you coming?" And the little boy, he looks and he's just not sure because he's afraid. This is a big train. And he gets on the train, he gets the ticket, and he gets on the train. And that's to me reminds me of what happens when we come to Overeaters Anonymous. Well, are you coming? And then we get on this train, and there's all kinds of ups and downs, and it's just a wild ride, and it's an adventure. When we come to Overeaters Anonymous, it's an adventure. Anyway, it is for me. It's an adventure. It's been an adventure, but I didn't know it at the time. And when I first came in, I came in, and I just, there was something there. And I had already belonged to another weight loss group for I don't know how many years, maybe 10, I'm not sure. But I came to Overeaters Anonymous because that group wasn't working anymore. And really, because the diet pills weren't working anymore. And I took diet pills from, well, my mother took me to the doctor, bless her heart, to lose weight when I was 10 years old. So I took diet pills from the time I was 20 years, 10 years old until I came into this program at age 29. So I took diet pills, and they were my higher power. Because I never thought I would ever be able to lose weight without those diet pills. And if the doctor gave them, they were okay. And I thought doctors were higher powers too. So anyway, I took diet pills, and then I don't even know why I took them. Because then I'd stop because I wanted to taste the food if I was going to go to the fair or wherever I was going. And after a while, they weren't working. And I don't know why they were my higher power because they weren't working. So when I came to OA, I was 29 years old and I had lost faith in the diet pills. And I was in that diet club and I wasn't supposed to be taking diet pills. And so when I mean, I was, and I couldn't stop eating. And I'd get on the scale was my higher power too. And I'd get on the scale and I would lose and I would gain and I would lose and I was gain. And I had this little index card that had my weight on it. And sometimes it was 130, which was too much for me, because I'm only 4 foot 10 or 9, if I want to be totally honest, now that I'm 77. But and it was it would be 130 and a half, then 129, then 135, and then it would go on and on, and then it wasn't stopping anymore until I came into this program at, I don't know how, it was over 160, but my top weight was 180, I think, when the baby only weighed 4 pounds. And that was another part of my story, is that when I got pregnant the first time, they put me on, I even took the diet pills then. Nobody knew it, but I was taking diet pills because I got toxemia and I wasn't supposed to gain weight. And they had me on a strict diet and I still ate. And I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought I was a bad, bad person. I just didn't know that I was a compulsive overeater and I couldn't stop. And by the grace of God, that baby was born okay, but they had to take her from me, and the anesthetic didn't work, and I could feel the operation because it didn't take because of my weight. And thank God, and she only weighed 4 pounds. And if, and the reason I talk about this is because if they wouldn't have taken her from me when they did, she wouldn't have made it. And I say this because our disease is just as serious as that of the alcoholic. The alcoholic can kill others because of their disease, and so can I. And I'm a compulsive overeater, and I wouldn't even know it. But I remember before I had that baby, I knew it was my fault. I knew it was my fault because I had eaten. And thank God that she's okay now. I mean, she's what, 50 something. By the grace of God, God took care of everything. And I consider this disease a treasure. It's a treasure because here is what, where the central fact happened. It happened that I found this relationship with the God of my understanding, and whatever that's the word I use, the God of my understanding, not the God of their understanding. I went to parochial school for well, for my, till I was in ninth grade, and I was told what to believe, and I was told what that kind of a God would do, and what he, you know, and if I didn't do certain things, bad things would happen to me. That was the kind of God I came in here with. And that's not the kind of God that I found here. You know, I came in with a God with a long beard, and he was up, I don't, he was over there too. He was over there by where the sun comes up, and he was just waiting for something to happen, waiting for me to screw up. And I thought for sure that, I mean, this is crazy thinking, but I thought for sure that something was going to happen to my children because I made my husband get a vasectomy, and that was wrong, but I still did it, you know. So I mean, that was the kind of concept, and I was just waiting. I was just waiting for something bad to happen. But that was a concept of God. And then when I came in here in 1975, there was that atmosphere, and I just knew that the diet pills weren't working, and I was exercising, and I was doing everything that I knew to lose weight, and it wasn't working anymore. The scale was going up, and I couldn't stop eating. And I would pick, but you know, it's not that bad. I would pick because it's just a little bit. It's just a little bit. And you can't really tell. And this food that I used to like, it's a Mexican food. And how could you tell? It's so light. It's just, you know, it doesn't weigh very much. So how can that put weight on me? But it did. And I couldn't stop. And when I came in, I remember This past Monday, I had this spiritual experience because I was sitting there. I was at a big book, a BBB meeting from New York, and they were reading, the speaker was reading from page 41 of the big book. And that's the part about Fred. And Fred thought he was okay. And he was gonna, he thought, wouldn't it be nice to have a few cocktails before dinner? Just a few, that would be nice. And so he did. Then he had one after dinner. And then more and more and more. And that's what happens. It's and Monday, when I was listening to the speaker talk about page 41, I just thought, oh my God, that's right. Tonight is the night that I took my last lick. And then I started to abstain the next day because I remember my sponsor telling me, I told her, oh, I did this. And I was only in the program 2 weeks. And I told her, you know, I did this. She goes, you broke your abstinence. Now you have to start over again. And I said, no, okay. I didn't think it was a big deal because I didn't know that it was a matter of life and death at that time. So I did. And I continued to do what other people before me were doing. They were reading the big book. They were going to, we had a couple of meetings here in San Diego, and I only went to one meeting because that's all that I could get to. That's all we had, really. And so I went to that meeting, and something was in that atmosphere of my first OA meeting, and it called me back. And someone asked me, do you have a sponsor? And I said, no. And she said, well, you can call me. And I said, okay. So I called her the next day. And she says, you know, this isn't a good time for me. Can you call me later? And I said, well, yeah. But I just didn't think, why is it a big deal? Why does she want me to call her? And but I did. I did call her because she had lost weight. She had lost 80 pounds, and I wanted what she had, the weight loss. And so that's how I started. And I called my food in because that's what we used to do in those days. We didn't have texting. And I started, and she told me to get the big book. So I did. And everybody in those days, they were talking about, ah, oh, the big book, the big book, the big book. God, it's just so great. And when I read it, I was so disappointed because it was about people that weren't like me. I mean, they were men and they lived in New York and they were stockbrokers. I mean, I didn't even have a job. And but there was something about, but that's what she told me to do. So I did it, even though I really couldn't relate and I didn't even like it. You know, but gradually, as I kept coming back, it started to, there was more and more that I could relate to. When Bill talked about Winchester Cathedral, it reminded me of when I was young and I would go to church and I had that connection with God at that time. And that's what Bill was saying. He had that connection with God, but of course it went away. And of course for me too, when I was young, I mean, what did that have to do with me asking God to help me stop eating when I was using diet pills? That was, and I could start relating to Bill with that. That was the first thing. And then it was more and more and more, and I could relate, and I could relate, and it didn't matter that they were alcoholics, and I'm a compulsive overeater. It's the same for me. I could relate to the recovery, you know, and to the recovery at that time was to call in my food, and we had a certain way of the amount to eat and what to eat, and it worked. So I continued with that plan of eating, and as I and as I remember my childhood and the diet pills, I lived a life when I was young of being restless, irritable, and discontented. And I remember them calling me the little grouch because I was grouchy all the time. Who wouldn't be if you were taking diet pills? You know, and those diet pills, they made me grouchy. And then it felt like a rubber band, because I knew, I mean, I didn't know, but I kept thinking that It was like a rubber band that you just stretch until it doesn't stretch anymore. It pops. That's what it felt like, because it was going to happen. That stretching the rubber band was going to happen, and it always did. And then I'd go off, and then I'd start taking the diet pills again. But I was a little grouch, and that's what my family called me. Oh, there she is, the little grouch. And I was also in puberty, so I guess I was grouchy for that too. But anyway, I was restless, irritable, and discontented. I was discontented until I came into this meeting, into this program. And that's because I found a relationship with God, as I keep saying, and a God that could do for me what I can't do for myself. And there's another thing in the big book. It talks about you have to follow this way of living, or else what? Or else, thank you, or else I'll go back to the great moments of the past, like Fred thought he was going to do in that story. Go back to the moments of the past when I was taking diet pills. And what about the way I felt when I couldn't stop losing weight? What about the way I felt when I keep taking a little? And what about the way I felt with and you know, I have to say, because when I was having this spiritual experience and thinking of Fred and the cocktails with dinner, now is the time of the Bermuda Triangle for us. And the Bermuda Triangle of Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And those things that involve food and family, but involve food. And going to the stores nowadays, they have these great big bags of that stuff, and they're wrapped in little teeny teeny packages. And they're mainly wrapping, but they're foil and they're pretty and all of that kind of stuff. And I just look at them and I just think, they're so tiny. How can they hurt? They're subtle, cunning, baffling, and powerful. And when I saw those, when I noticed them a couple of years ago, I thought, my God, that's like a big something that, look at it, won't hurt you. You can have just one. And I can't. I don't care how beautifully it's wrapped. I can't have that one little tiny piece. It's not on my food plan. And it's just because it's just so subtle. And now, because I get to have this, because I have this in the AA 12 and 12, it talks about on the 11th step, and I work the 11th step twice a day, every day. And sometimes I might forget, not forget, sometimes I'm too sleepy or something, but mainly I work the 11th step by, 20 minutes twice a day. And I've always had some kind of an 11th step. That's a big part of my program. But in the AA 12 and 12, it talks about the sense of belonging that we get when we do the 11th step, when we keep coming to the program. And in the big book, it talks about, yes, I am one of them too. And I think the last page of this, there is a solution. Yeah, it says, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. I am one of us. And before the meeting started, there was something about the seventh tradition, and it says self-supporting begins with me. And if we want to belong, that's part of it. Being self-supporting, I need to be self-supporting, and I need to support OA. And I was starting to copy it down, so I hope it still is on the chat. I know this is off the topic, but it's true. You know, yes, I am one of us too, and I am responsible for that. My tokens always say, "To thine own self be true." And being true to my own self means that I'm Jerry and I'm a compulsive overeater and I will never grow new legs. And I have to work this program, especially steps 10, 11, and 12 every single day, or else I can go back to the moments of the past, you know, those moments that I can romanticize. I can go back to them. But I love what I get here, the spiritual awareness I have of life at a life that's beyond my wildest dreams. I get to experience life at such a deep level that I never would have had before. So with that, I think my 5 minutes is up, and thank you for this opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope.